Let us pray. We gather before you, O Holy Lord, to reflect on your word, your call, and your claim in our lives. These scriptures have been set before us to shape us and mold us in the image of your Son. Send your Spirit to transform our attitudes and actions that we may automatically live into your life, a life marked by justice and mercy. In this time, touch our hearts. Allow us to feel your strong grip on us and help us to go forward in confidence. This we pray in the name of Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Do you like using checklists?
Yes.
I heard an automatic yes behind me. Some people are shaking their heads. They are ideal when you have lots of things that need to get done, or things you have to remember, like when you're preparing for a long trip, or deciding that it's time to go camping with your scout unit, or if you want to just make sure that nothing gets left behind or undone. Checklists can act as a safeguard to ensure that you do not miss anything, which is why they are so often employed in health and safety tasks, like the long-haul trucker's pre-trip checklist or pre-flight routines. Checklists can also be helpful tools in ensuring that dependent tasks are done in the right order, so that one does the first things first, as we so often say in our house these days, first things first before going on to the next step. This weekend, I wished that I had employed a checklist on my way home from Alberta a few weeks ago. I had a list when I packed to go, but this weekend, with the snow, I went to put on my snow boots. And they were not there. In all of the bags that I packed, I left them 5,000 kilometers away. I really was not prepared. Checklists. They are incredibly powerful when they're used for what they're designed for. And it is really easy to look at today's passage and think that we could turn Christianity into a set of checklists of things that we should believe or follow to be faithful. Attend worship? Check. Read my Bible? Well, let me blow off the dust. Check. Join with others of the faith to help grow ourselves in a small group. If you're looking for one, there is prayer and Bible study right before service. Have I fed the hungry, clothed the poor, showed mercy to those who are suffering? Have I offered my tithe? Do I believe? Do I believe that God is three people, this Trinity thing? Do I believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose for our sins, setting us free? Do I believe that I am the hands and feet of Christ here on earth? It seems so easy to make our faith a checklist. If we've done these things, check, 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 the things mentioned in today's service scripture, we might just think that we are safe. Surely, if I have done these things, checked off all the boxes to be righteous, I will be a sheep. But that is part of the trap of today's parables. Last week I said that parables sometimes involve some work to get into them. They are stories that tell us truth, but that truth is not always evident. Thinking that we can earn our place at Jesus' right side, that we can earn our place as a sheep, asking ourselves if we have done enough, If we've done enough to help the poor, the single mother, the lonely widow, asking us if we've done ourselves enough, if we've done enough to be considered a sheep, is the trap in our parable today. Because our faith has never, ever been about the works of faith that we've done to earn a place at God's right hand. And that's where our parable involves some digging. Our faith, at its heart, is about relationship. The relationship with a God who chooses to have a relationship with us, even when we mess up, even when we do not deserve it, even when we don't have it all together. Our faith is about the love relationship God has with us that forgives us and counts us as worthy, and the transformation that we experience being in relationship with God. Transformation is a key indication of our connection and salvation within Christ. It is present in today's scripture in the ways in which the sheep and the goats live. You can see this transformation. For both the sheep and the goats ask, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, alone, or in prison?" Neither group had more knowledge of what was going on. Neither group had secret inside knowledge that that was Jesus that they were serving. Neither group was working in a calculated way. Both were simply doing what came naturally to them. As the record of action was played out before the judge in this parable, the goats couldn't help but admit that the charges of not responding to the needs of others were true. Seeing the need, the goats responded in the way that so many in our day do when needs present themselves. They looked away. They looked after their own interests. They made excuses or tried to justify the needs of others. They didn't bother to hear the story. They did what comes so naturally to fallen humans. They chose to look out only for themselves, to guard and refuse to share the love they have and the gifts that they had. Maybe even making excuses about why they couldn't help. All signs that these goats didn't know Christ or understand his ways of mercy. But here's the thing. The sheep also did what came naturally to them. Filled with the love of God, they reached out in care to their neighbors in need. Their actions were outward signs of their relationship with a loving and merciful God. Their actions reflected Jesus' life. And for he is the one who came to serve, having been immersed in the way of Christ, having learned and followed and grown in faith, having known themselves the unselfishness, they were able to overcome that trait of humanity that causes us to bottle up within. The sheep were living examples of the transformation that happens when we are tapped into the life of Christ. So here's the question. How easy is it for you to do sheep-like things? When we are new to the faith, making choices to give ourselves in service and in others can be difficult. It can seem unnatural, much like riding bicycles for the first time. Sometimes we slip and fall. Sometimes we're flooded by decisions and questions of what if. Sometimes we look for reasons to bow out. But as our relationship with God deepens, as we become more comfortable riding our bike, it becomes natural and easy. We could almost do it with our eyes closed or our hands off the steering wheel. As we journey deeper into the life of Christ, we stop having to prompt ourselves so much. We stop having to remind ourselves that this person in front of us in need may be Jesus in disguise. And we just naturally come into their presence, learn their names and hear their stories, and show love, compassion, and caring in the face of their needs. Collectively, we as St. Paul's provided space for the outdoor program, In From the Cold program, that allowed people to flex their sheep muscles this winter. As members of Fredericton's community, members of our community often overlooked and pushed outside were given a space to be heard, a space to be warm, a space to receive care. And as our members flexed their sheep muscles, as our volunteers from outside this community flexed their sheep muscles, amazing things happened. On the last night of the program, one of our frequent guests, let's call him Dylan, that's not his name, came in and was sitting upstairs with the two volunteers for that night and myself, as I hadn't gone home yet. When I first met Dylan, he had a horrible, horrible lung infection. He came into our space coughing, having trouble breathing. I could not even imagine what it would have been like to be outside. We heard stories about how he was uncomfortable with doctors. Members of our community supported him in getting the help he needed. And on that night, that last night when we opened our doors, he took a taxi to get here because he had been working a temporary job. He took a taxi because he knew this space would provide a welcome. And he came, healthy and with a story that he had a job interview the next day. For him, taking the taxi ride here to be welcomed into the warmth, to allow him to get a good night's sleep, created space for possibly a new future. And for our volunteers, those sheep that reached out, who put aside their fears and anxieties, they experienced a holiness in stories shared, in care given, in the ministry that he provided to them as much as they provided to him. Our actions. Each individual action we make is a sign and symbol of our relationship with God. That's a pretty big statement. Each and individual action that we make is a sign and symbol of our relationship with God. Each incident of care that we participate in is God's transforming action at work in our lives. Now, the reality is we're not perfect in our acts of care. We're human. And sometimes we mess up. But this is where our relationship with God also flourishes. for we were granted space, called kin, adopted into the promise, not because of what we did, but through thanksgiving, through thankfully the mercy of God, the forgiveness that is offered. Our individual actions don't have to be grand and sweeping, for God works through us and others through our small, imperfect actions, through each choice we make for loving action, to shape us in the life of Christ. And so as we sit here, as we ponder sheep or goat, let us stop. Let's stop doing that. Let us instead remember the love that we have been given, the space that we come into, the strength to overcome fear and to care. And let us give thanks. Thanks to God, who does not expect us to be perfect or to meet some standard checklist beyond our reaching. Let us give thanks. Thanks to a God who gives us the gift of grace and mercy, a gift that through our participation in Christ's life grants us an inheritance in the kingdom of God, here and now, and for eternity. Amen. Let us join in singing our hymn of response. Yeah.